You're listening to the podcast for Asbury United Methodist Church. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. for small groups, 10 a.m. for worship, or anytime at asburybossier.org.
Well, good morning again. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It is so good to see all of the wonderful green out in the audience. I'm wearing mine today. I usually forget. So we have been in this wonderful sermon series called The Final Days, crafted by our very own Pastor Matt Rawl and his genius, where we have been comparing and contrasting the passion narratives in the different gospel accounts. So we've talked about Matthew and Mark, but today we are talking about Luke, which is actually my favorite, so I am very excited to be here with you this morning. And something that Pastor Matt talked about last week was questions, how church can be a place where we can come with our questions. And sometimes before we move to the answer, maybe we should question the question. So this morning, I'm starting with the question, have you ever forgotten anything? Anyone? Your keys, a phone, a name, an appointment, the speed limit, maybe your children, a time or two. A story that comes to mind for me when I think about forgetfulness is one of my best friends goes on a beach trip every year. And so she invited me to come along, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. You know, we were talking about what we're gonna do, the sandcastles and the places we're going out to eat, you know, messaging on AIM, you know, we didn't have cell phones back then, aging myself a little bit. But I'm so excited. We pull up to their house, and I turn to my mom, and I'm like, Mom, I forgot to pack swimsuits on a beach trip. So fortunately, we lived like 5 minutes away, so I could run back to the house and just shove some swimsuits in my bag for the beach trip. Kind of needed that. That was the one thing I probably should have packed, but I forgot. But in our text today, we see the opposite. We're talking about remembrance, right? And comparing the gospel accounts, there are two main themes in Luke that are unlike the others. Remembrance and new covenant. We heard those in our text today. And I chose to look at these in the lens of the Last Supper. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture because the Last Supper itself is so powerful. One of the last things that Jesus wants to do before being arrested, tried, and crucified is have a meal with his friends. In the verses preceding our text today, it states that the Passover was near. The Passover meal was a beautiful Jewish tradition, still practiced today, in which families gather to celebrate that God brought them out of slavery in Egypt into the land that God had promised them. And if you haven't heard that story in a while, the Israelites were oppressed and enslaved in the land of Egypt. So God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh to tell him to let the Israelites go. And if you've ever been to Christian camp or VBS, I know that they have tons of fun songs for you to remember that. But Pharaoh refuses, so God sends plagues upon Egypt, like frogs everywhere and boils on their skin, just a bunch of fun stuff. But one of the last and the most serious of the plagues was the death of the firstborn in every family, human and animal. So God commands Moses and his brother Aaron to tell the Israelites to take a lamb, to kill it, and to take some of its blood to put on the door frames of their houses. And I think I have this was the first picture that came up on Google. And I'm like, why did y'all have to do my man like that? Y'all could have given him hair. You didn't need to do that. Goodness gracious. He's also very pacey for Middle Easterner, but that's okay. So this is what they would do. They would put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost so that when God came over, he would pass over their house so no one would be killed in their household. And the text says, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, including the Pharaoh's son. So Pharaoh then summons Moses and Aaron and tells them to go from Egypt and to worship Yahweh. So every year the people would celebrate the Passover meal as a way to give thanks and honor what the Lord had done for them. And this is another picture of that. And what's neat about this celebration is that it's not simply a historical event, but a living one. It's a reality. It said that everyone should celebrate this as if they are at this moment leaving Egypt. So by remembering the Exodus, you participate in it. You experience yourself in the liberation from Egyptian slavery. It's a powerful time of remembrance, honor, and participation. So coming back to this famous Last Supper, Jesus is doing the same here and then some. He's celebrating the Jewish Passover, recalling what God has done for them and their ancestors and the covenants that God has made to God's people. And he is doing something new. Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper and speaks of a new covenant. He's bringing together the past, present, and future of God's faithfulness to us. In the liturgy and in the text we read today, it says, "On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took a loaf of bread, gave thanks to God, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" So Jesus is establishing remembrance and a new covenant, remembering what God has promised and has done for their ancestors and people, and establishing a new one, i.e. that Jesus will soon go to the cross and die for the sins of the world so that all who believe in him may have eternal life. You see, Jesus becomes the Passover. Jesus himself has become the sacrificial lamb. He's connecting the old covenants and fulfilling a new one. And this new covenant is life-giving, making it so that death never has the final say, and giving us liberation from our sins here and now. Remembrance and new covenant. So another question I have for us today is, what are we called to remember? What is your Passover today? When is a time when God has delivered or seen you through something or moved in a powerful way? Do you think of that often? Do you remember God and God's faithfulness? When you partake in Holy Communion, do you remember Christ's sacrifice for you? Because that is one thing that Jesus intended with this last meal with his friends. Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." This breaking of the bread and sharing in the cup is a memento or an heirloom of the time they spent with their friend Jesus. And each time they gather, they are to remember him, his ministry, and his mission. And we can too, even almost 2,000 years later. But in the ancient world, most people only ate about one meal a day. I know that's really hard to think about because I snack like 5 times a day. But it's usually in the evening, and it was only special occasions like the Passover that people dined formally. Formal meals were also a significant way of bringing people who needed to be reconciled together or who desired to enter into covenant relationship with one another. And more than any other gospel, Luke emphasizes Jesus sharing meals. That's a Jesus we can get behind, right? Hungry Jesus. Luke mentions meals with Mary and Martha, Zacchaeus, Pharisees, lawyers, other women, tax collectors, and of course, his chosen disciples. He often dines with the outsiders and the outcasts, the misunderstood, the lowly, the sinners. And Luke spotlights this in his gospel, that the kingdom and the body of Christ is full, diverse, oftentimes not what we expect, and beautiful. And praise God for that. The challenge for us as believers when we eat this bread and wine is not that we grasp the full potential of its meaning, but that we open ourselves up to the full extent of its power to change us and to create intimacy among the worshiper and the outcasts, other believers, other people, and of course, the God whom we worship. So what then shall we do after we eat together? Another question for us to ponder today. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. This is actually my favorite Bible verse. One, because it's short and it's easy to memorize, but because it has so much behind it. As I was reading more about this line, many of the commentary writers speak about, you know, observing Holy Communion and breaking bread together. That's what this refers to. But there are some writers who say, well, the this part lacks a referent. So some people think that it doesn't really have something it was referring to. It leaves it somewhat uncertain and open, which is why it's my favorite Bible verse. You see, I want us to write this phrase, do this in remembrance of me, everywhere. On our hearts, in our cars, on sticky notes at our office, on our fridges, our mirrors, our kids' school lunches. I even put it down at the altar for you to take today. Do this in remembrance of me. I want us to remember this phrase, this call to action that Jesus gives his disciples then and today. Yes, gathering and dining together, do this in remembrance of me. Volunteering at the Hub or Downtown Friends, do this in remembrance of me. Stopping to help someone, laying a floor, changing a diaper, calling your mother, do this in remembrance of me. Defending someone in court, flying an airplane, counseling someone, do this in remembrance of me. Forgiving someone, do this in remembrance of me. Going to work, coming to church, checking on your friends, teaching and disciplining your children, fixing a tooth or inspecting an eye, listening to someone, bringing new life into the world, sending an encouraging text, visiting someone in the hospital or a home, attending a funeral, hugging someone when they've had a day, stopping to pray for or with someone, even smiling at a stranger, do this in remembrance of me. You see, everything we do can be a remembrance of Christ because it's all worship if we see it that way. It can all be a reminder of God. And we want to be people that remind others that there is a God who loves them and is moving in their life, to participate in communion at church and when we leave here, to keep the body of Christ alive in the world today, to remind others that they are loved and they have a Savior, and that they too are part of this new covenant, no matter who they are or what they've done. For you see, the Christian life is not merely the remembrance of a historical Jesus in the past, but it's the present participation in a living Christ with us now. There's a passage I love in 2 Corinthians. It reads, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by all, and you show that you are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets that are human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are qualified of ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our qualification is from God, who has made us qualified to be ministers of the new covenant. Not of letter, but of spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life." So friends, you heard it here today. You are ministers of that new covenant that Christ talks about. The new covenant is an everlasting one. It brings complete forgiveness of sin through a Savior who comes to restore all that has been broken. In the new covenant, we receive the forgiveness of sins and God's empowering Spirit to help us live lives full of obedience and love, so that people from every nation, tribe, and tongue can trust Jesus and can become part of God's holy and covenant family. We are qualified and are sanctified to live righteously and partner with Christ as he renews the world. Wow. Right? You are a tablet that God himself has written upon and has infused with the Holy Spirit. You are all ministers of the new covenant, which is life-giving both now and when we die. When I was in seminary, we had chapel twice a week. It was on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 a.m., and no one was allowed to schedule anything, no classes, no meetings, so everyone could go if they wanted. And I'll never forget, there was one line, I don't remember all the sermons, so it's okay if you don't remember mine, but there was one line that I'll never forget. The pastor said, "We are called to embody hope in a Good Friday world." You see, friends, this world often looks a lot like Good Friday. Sometimes our hope feels gone. Up is down, right is wrong. Bad things keep happening to good people. Our strength isn't always there. We're tired and exhausted. There is so much brokenness and hurt. All seems dark and lost sometimes. But we have a Savior who paid it all. We can recall what God has done for us and bring to life the Christ in us when we remember and are grateful for his love and sacrifice. For he is the light in the darkness, and how we continue walking. We can embody hope and love because we have a God who is those things and who is faithful and enters into covenant relationship with us from the beginning of time until the end of time. The last thing I want to say this morning, hang in there. In thinking of my first question, is, have you ever felt forgotten? Have you ever felt like the Lord has forgotten you? That so much has happened. I must have done something wrong. God wants nothing to do with me. I'm not worthy of this loving God. Communion isn't for me. Jesus didn't have me in mind. Surely not. God doesn't know what I've done or what I've failed to do. My sins are too great. I do not deserve this bread and wine. And to that I say, if Jesus' willingness and death on the cross does not convince you of his love for you, what will? There's no sin too great or too many that was not covered. For God says, "I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." For God saved us not because of any righteous things that we have done, but because of God's great love and mercy. And if you're still unsure this morning, I'd like to recall the Last Supper and the crucifixion. Who was at the table with Christ? Among the disciples were Thomas, Peter, and Judas. Thomas, who would doubt him, Peter, who would deny him, and Judas, who betrayed him for pieces of silver. And yet, Jesus calls them in. He washes their feet, as we learn in John. He dines with them and announces the new covenant among them. And when Jesus is on the cross, Luke tells us that there are two other criminals being crucified also. One who mocks Jesus and asks to be saved, but the second rebukes him and says that they are justly serving consequences of their sin, but Jesus is innocent. And instead of blaspheming or mocking Jesus or even asking himself to be saved, the second criminal responds with faith and calls him by name. He says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This criminal may not have gone to temple every week. He surely didn't go to the giving kiosk. He probably did some bad things to be there. But he believed with his dying breath that Jesus was the Savior and just wanted to be with him. And some of Jesus' last words that he can utter from the cross were to this criminal. And he replies, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So friends, Jesus remembers you. Jesus loves you. And all he wants is to be with you now and forever. No matter who you are or what you've done. So yes, communion and life with Christ is for you. You are worthy because God says you are. Today you will be with me always. And maybe you're on the other side. I know we don't talk about this a lot in church, but you might be a little cocky. You know, you might think that you are righteous and rightfully and absolutely deserve this bread and wine and this new covenant. And you absolutely do, just as anyone else does. No arguments here. But I'll also remind you of the Last Supper. For just after we have this amazing meal with the disciples in this moment, what happens right afterwards is the disciples get into an argument about who is the greatest among them. Can you imagine? And Jesus says, no, 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 fellas, friends. The greatest among you is the one who serves. So may you imitate Christ's humility. Humble yourselves to take the nature of a servant and be obedient to God's will in your life. Your task is to seek and find those who aren't yet at this table. Who's missing? Who do we need to seek and find? Who needs to be at this table but hasn't been fully welcomed, invited, or wanted there? Your task is to build God's kingdom here until we feast at his heavenly banquet one day. It reminds me of the shirts that say, "Let's make heaven crowded." For remember, communion is an act of remembrance and participation. It brings together the past, present, and future of our God's faithfulness to us. So remember what God has done for you and in and through the story of humanity. Remember that you are a part of this new covenant and that you are qualified to be ministers of it. And lastly, that you can embody hope, love, and Christ in this Good Friday world. You yourselves are our letter, written with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone that can waste away, but on tablets that are human hearts. So do this, do everything in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this institution of remembrance and your new covenant with us. I pray when we hear the words of Holy Communion today and come forward to receive that we are reminded that we are your children, that you have not forgotten us, that you remember us and you love us. So like how people experience the Passover, I pray we experience communion as if we are sitting with Christ at the table, hearing him say these words and establishing his covenant with us. And I pray we live that when we get up from the table and go out into the world. Amen.